the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it's Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020.
And the first round is over.
First round is over. A lot of big important things happened this week. First round is over. We got some great game sevens. Most importantly, I got my first ace in Valorant.
Oh, an ace. That's when you kill the entirety of the other team.
Yes, that's when you kill all five members of the other team. You can actually get 6 or 7 kills in a round if people are rezzed by Sage.
Wow.
The Sage one is a little like, I forget how it is. There's some way where like you could res someone and get enough ultimate orbs to get another one or something. I don't know. That's what happened. That was definitely the most important thing that happened in the world
this week. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think we saw that the NBA shut down again last week while we were waiting for...
I actually think that if we had done this podcast 3 or 4 days ago, we'd be like the most important thing. That, I mean, the entire thing would have centered on the political aspects of the NBA postponing games or striking. Yes, I think is the correct word.
Striking
against games, and then we have the bonus of we got some basketball and we got some insane basketball to talk about as well.
Yes, we certainly do. Yeah,
talk about the political element of last week's strike.
Yeah, let's give that top billing here.
I genuinely was very excited when I thought that the Clippers and Lakers were for real going to just sit out the rest of the season.
You know, I was too.
I was fine with it. I thought it was a very cool idea. Clearly, a sacrifice because they were the top two of the top three teams. I would say.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a very bold, interesting thing. And then I'll be totally honest, I was a little disappointed that they just 24 hours later were like, I guess we'll
play. Definitely. And you know, I think maybe there was some reporting on the first hand where it was like, oh, this is they're definitely gonna walk out, they didn't say anything, where it seems like what happened is that LeBron kind of did a there's no plan here, I don't care to talk about this unless there's a plan. Which is like such a weird move for his part.
Yeah, there's some things about LeBron that if he was not a Laker, it would still linking to like his stuff about Hong Kong.
Yeah,
like this would not, I wouldn't love this because actually, was it Shams who broke that first tweet about like the Clippers and Lakers have left the meeting?
I can't remember if it was Shams or if it was Chris Haynes, but it was one of. Shams or Haynes or Woj, one of the three of those guys.
So I think that we took it as meaning like they're walking out, they're boycotting the rest of the season or whatever. And I think what it actually was that they voted against it in that meeting and then got tired of the discussion and left because LeBron left.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the reporting sort of ginned it up to be more than that.
Yeah, I think that's probably what happened. But I think my big thing is that like, I'm so in awe of what the Milwaukee Bucks did.
Yes.
Right. You know, I mean, it's a little tough for them to be in that state and see what's happened to them. I mean, Sterling Brown on their team had a run-in with the police that was less than stellar.
Was that where he was trying to buy jewelry at a store or something?
No. He was illegally parked in a 7-Eleven parking lot. So, okay, 7-Eleven, something like that. And they pinned him down and were very, very awful to him. And they tried to make it go away with a large settlement. And Sterling Brown was like, no, people need to know about this.
Also, he's like, the settlement would have to be much bigger than this.
I mean, yeah, they offered him $400,000.
Right. And he's like, well,
no go.
This doesn't really speak well of me, but I believe that the story of going into a jewelry store and getting not recognized or being treated poorly, I think that's Oprah Winfrey, which to be honest, the two of them probably get confused for each other.
Sterling Brown and Oprah Winfrey. I mean, you know, Oprah is from Chicago. So Sterling Brown is living in Wisconsin, which is very close to Illinois. Mm. But yes, other than that, real bad job on that one.
Sterling Brown's salary is $1.6 million.
So, I mean, yeah, he's I believe either a late first round pick or an early second round pick, and he's got, you know, he's got money, but he felt like this was the right thing to do, and I mean, I stand by him. And seeing the Bucks kind of just be like, we don't want to play today. We can't play today because the police shot Jacob Blake in the back 7 times. Mm-hmm. And that's I'm really proud of them for doing that. And I think that, you know, the Orlando Magic maybe felt like they were left out of the loop a little bit, but to me, this felt like a personal thing for them.
Yeah.
That everybody just agreed with, because of course it's ridiculous that he was shot in the back 7 times as he was walking away. That's very patently, obviously ridiculous,
mm-hmm.
and awful and horrible. And I think that the Bucks stopping and deciding not to play was really powerful. And, you know, it got people to listen, people to talk about it. I think it showed that, you know, the way that everything ended up, you know, I don't know if I am super, if I believe that the, arena's opening for polling places is going to be something that creates a huge impact. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that maybe won't create a ton of impact, but I think just stand to attention. Like that's something that was really good, and they did it for their conscience. And like, I'm so happy for them. So happy for what they decided to do. And I think it's very powerful that they decided this on their own rather than consulting with the entire NBA.
I mean, in essence, all the votes that are created by those arenas were kind of created by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we weren't about to have a team-wide or league-wide protest until they decided to sit that game out, I think.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah, that was not going to happen.
And they were, from, you know, reporting on the players meeting, you know, apparently some of the other teams felt, as you said, a little bit out of the loop. Not just the Magic, but I believe some of the other teams in the bubble.
Yeah.
Felt a little. And when I read that, I kind of thought, well, you know, it seemed a little to me like, hey, man, like if you're going to do something that I like, it felt a little conscious of like marketing or something, not for the Bucks, but for the other teams.
Yeah.
To be like, man, I wish you had told me about this so that like, I don't know, maybe it's a respect thing but it did feel like it was sort of a thing the Bucks just kind of felt and didn't really calculate as a statement, but you know what I mean? Like not calculated politically.
They had specific demands for Milwaukee and Wisconsin, right? They had specific demands and they asked them after they got out of their locker room, they specifically asked for certain things. And I think that that's, you know, a great thing to do. I honestly thought
it would be kind of cool. Like, honestly, I think it would have been the coolest thing LeBron ever did if he just decided to the Lakers, or if he just thought he was going to sit out the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, podcasts like us, but also reporters all up and down the spectrum of basketball would have loved, in a way, if the Clippers and Lakers sat out and we kept going with the season, like it would have created so many first take conversations, and you know, like you could just talk about it endlessly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it would have been just because, you know, as a sacrifice of LeBron's, I think it would have been very significant.
Yeah.
To give up one of his, you know, remaining years of playoff contention when he's a front running contending team.
Yeah.
And whatever, you know, it would be nice if the Clippers. You know what? I think it'd be great if the Clippers sat out every season as a political statement.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, until Steve Ballmer decides to divest all of his money. Yeah, sure. Have the Clippers sit out. Who cares?
By the way, that's not quite fair because they are, as we've established, my second favorite team.
Okay, so Houston loses the mantle of that. They're done.
Houston I just picked as like, I think they're going to win. But I kind of, as long as Harden's there, I don't know if I can ever be like that on board with them. I mean, I would be tonight.
We got a couple of game sevens.
Yes.
And so I guess the first one we'll talk about is the fresh one.
Yes.
The circus show, the Lou Dort show, Oklahoma City versus Houston in just an absolute wild. I was pacing around my living room.
So I don't know. I don't know a ton about Lu Dort, but I think he's a great story for the last 12 months.
Oh, absolutely.
He was, I believe, not drafted.
Undrafted out of Arizona State. And then had
a, he got a two-way contract.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I think these guys, like, even though it's appears to have worked out, maybe he didn't get the best advice because he came out, like, if you come out of college and you're undrafted, I think you got bad advice.
Interesting. Did he come out early?
Yeah, he came out after freshman year, I believe. Oh. So yeah, that's someone being very aggressive about how good they think you are, and then you didn't get drafted at all. That's
pretty bad.
That's bad. I mean, I think your manager or agent, a sports agent, that's one of their jobs is to be able to like read the tea leaves of whether or not you should. You know, it's obviously to their best interest for you to get a high salary too. Anyway, yeah. I did not know much about him. Sometimes, depending on his hairstyle, I thought he could be like a Holiday brother. Because also, he's a good defender.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just, you know. But anyway, he had a great night tonight in vain. But it was the two best players in the league, James Harden and Lu Dort.
I wanted Oklahoma City to win that so bad.
Well, this is what happens when you – did you know that going into this series, did you know who you were going to root for?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when I picked the Thunder, I wanted them to win.
Okay. Because I find a lot of times like that the game reveals to me who I hate more.
I like
although it's funny because this game, this is more like this than the Nuggets, Jazz series, but this game, it kind of was like, I enjoy seeing both sides fail. Over and over. That's fair. This series has been a buffet of those moments, by the way.
It really has. Yeah. Because in the games the Thunder lost, they just got blown off the court.
Mm-hmm.
And in the games that the Rockets lost, they failed in crunch time.
Yeah.
And tonight was the game that kind of twisted that around, where the Thunder failed in crunch time and the Rockets didn't blow them off the court. So it was just a style breaker of a series.
And I mean, if somebody had said this 7-game series is going to end with a James Harden defensive play, that would have been very surprising.
That's kind of the one thing that he can do on defense. It's like one-on-one defense. Like if you ask him to do team defense, it just is not going to work out well. But he is like a stout post defender.
He's a good post defender. I think he's a very, very average perimeter defender.
That's fair. This was not a good perimeter defense.
That was a closeout. Like, yeah.
Just a closeout.
It was a great closeout. And like not even a questionable, like it was not anywhere near a foul or anything.
Yeah, no, not at all. He just got it. Got it.
That's the situation where you wish Dort was not a rookie, but like in his sixth year.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee Chris Paul would have faked that first.
Yeah. Chris Paul would have faked it and then lost the handle on the dribble as he goes to the hoop. You know, they were talking about Chris Paul's clutch ability. Uh-huh. And this game was not a Chris Paul clutch game. Like last game, game six was a Chris Paul clutch game.
Yes.
This was a Chris Paul doesn't know how to do anything in the clutch game.
There are times like in game six where it seems like he is capable of dominating from a half court offense.
Yeah.
And then there's games where you just think, oh, he's just a short dude that can't make much impact on this game.
Like, you mean like how James Harden was for most of this game?
Well, James Harden is a different story. He's not a little guy that can't make an impact. So I would say that our impression of Chris Paul in this game was like average to below average contribution from Chris Paul, right?
Okay.
But he was still 5 for 11. Like he got 11 almost rebounds.
Had
a triple double. Like he didn't have the impact he had in game six, but he didn't have like a trash fire of a game.
Yeah. Correct.
James Harden will throw out some trash fires, and this was kind of one of them.
Yeah, this game was a hot mess for poor James Harden up until the end.
And as I said, the series has been rich in moments because, you know, I love seeing Chris Paul fail in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I also love, I think before these playoffs started, I think I said something in like an old, like months ago podcast episode where I said that, like Russell Westbrook will like throw games away in the playoffs. Like, I think I said something like he'll throw away one or two games in a series sometimes.
Yeah.
And also that I thought that he might actually benefit from like slowing down and being tired. Well, he has not slowed down a bit in his second half career.
Yeah,
but game six was fun to just see him like throw shit away.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, I thought that, you know, I made my prediction based on the fact that I thought Russell Westbrook was going to miss most of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's why the Thunder would be able to prevail. But it turns out that they were better without him. And then with him, they almost lost the series. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty wild.
They will be facing the Los Angeles Lakers next.
Oh, very, very interesting. And that series starts on Friday.
How do you feel about this series?
I mean, I think I would have preferred facing the Thunder for the Lakers anyways, just because it seems like
Yeah.
Steven Adams is hurt. And
yeah.
I don't know. I also think the Lakers are gonna win.
Yes.
So I don't think that I think that the Lakers match up with them in a way that really benefits the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I trust the Lakers guards to be good on defense more than I trust them to be good on offense. And I think that I like the ability of KCP, Caruso, Danny Green to stay in front of their, you know, ridiculous three-point shooters a little more than I like Houston's ability to hit all those threes over, you know, what I hope will be good defense.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't want to say is I do see how the Lakers could struggle offensively in this series, because Houston is all get in the way, put up our hands, like team defense. Like, and you saw that today and throughout this series when they were focused on defense, it felt like the Thunder couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like a lot of their good shots came from three-point land or, you know, maybe the mid-range a little bit. But, like, we don't do a ton of mid-range stuff in L.A., at least on the Lakers side of the ball. So it's either going to be LeBron's going to try to get to the rack against two to three guys each time, or he'll try to probe the defense and get the ball out to Anthony Davis and our three-point quote-unquote shooters on the outside. I don't know. Yeah. I could see there being a couple of games where the Lakers struggle offensively. But I do think that the Lakers are going to take the series.
I don't think, of course, I did pick the Rockets to win the championship. And I guess I'll still pick them just so that my pick stays alive. But, I actually think that a closer version of what happened, or I think for the Trailblazers series, I said, I believe in LeBron and AD more than McCollum and Lillard. And I sort of think that's true here as well. The variance that Harden and Westbrook have in their games is just like difficult to win a seven games series with. I know they just did, but that was the Thunder series, I think, was more difficult than they would have wanted it to be.
Oh, definitely.
And I just think that it's more reliable for Anthony Davis to get 24 points in a bad game of his.
Yeah.
And that's certainly true of LeBron. What LeBron considers a bad game often are those ones that are close to triple doubles.
Yeah.
And also, I just I haven't really paid attention to the specific number of minutes that the Rockets have been running a very small lineup. But like, technically, in Game 7, their starting center was Robert Covington.
Yeah.
And
I wonder how that's going to go.
The very easy question is who's going to guard Anthony Davis. But the second question is then who's going to guard LeBron? Like LeBron, I think, I don't know if he's taller or shorter than Robert Covington. I mean, how tall is Robert Covington?
PJ Tucker's going to get a lot of the LeBron assignments.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't be surprised if like Westbrook tried to guard LeBron. Like, I mean, it's going to be a lot of like hands in, everybody up guarding. Like maybe some Jeff Green, but like, I don't know. I mean, I hate that for them.
I just think it's a bad situation because honestly, I think that like normally you'd put like Covington on like, well, you put him on LeBron, but like even Kuzma being guarded by Covington, like physically is a decent matchup. You know, the Lakers are a better rebounding team in general than the Rockets.
Yeah.
So I would expect to see like at least if it goes seven games, or how about this? Every third game, I expect Anthony Davis to have 15 or more rebounds.
Yeah, because the rebounding that the Lakers have is going to be huge over this. So
yeah, and I just feel like I know it feels almost like high school basketball or something, but like if you've got LeBron, Anthony Davis, and like JaVale McGee on the court.
Yeah.
Just chuck it up. It's going to be three like high schoolers standing over junior high school players, just like doing super boring, like just put it back in basketball.
Yeah. And I think one of the things to think about is like, even our guards are good rebounders. Like the Lakers are a really good rebounding team.
Yeah. KCP is a pretty good rebounder, right?
Yeah. I think we're going to feast in that. And that's my hope. You know, here's hoping that, we can make that happen, but you know, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay,
the Lakers are 1-1 against the Rockets outside of the bubble this season, and they lost their one bubble game. So, and that in that bubble game, we didn't get the entire team going. That game was, I believe, without a number of our Lakers players, if I recall. Yeah, no LeBron in that game, and no Alex Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they ran the Lakers off the court in that bubble game. But I'm interested to see what it's like to see a full Frank Vogel game plan for.
Yes. That is the other thing I would say, is that I trust Frank Vogel's ability to game plan for Harden and Westbrook way more than I trust D'Antoni's ability to game plan for LeBron and AD.
Yeah, same.
KCP gets three rebounds a game, three rebounds per 36.
Okay.
But Caruso's a decent rebounder. Rondo is a good rebounder.
Yeah.
So... just for fun, do you think we could ever put out this? Let me give you a lineup I want the Lakers to put out, just for fun.
Okay.
LeBron is the point guard.
Okay.
Markieff Morris as the shooting guard.
Okay.
And then Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, and Anthony Davis.
No, absolutely not. No, 100%.
I'd like to see. No. So this is what happens. They come over half court, and LeBron chucks it up. And then the four of them just stand under the rim and just rebound.
Yeah, I mean, no, absolutely not 100% no every time, no. You know, the way that rebounds work is not that if you have four guys near the hoop that they're guaranteed to get it. Rebounds are random. You have a higher chance of getting it. But even then, you know, there's like all sorts of hands and crazy stuff in the middle. I would not run the one man out, four man in offense. I would probably tend towards the one man in, four man out kind of a deal. But, you know, hey, maybe they can give it a try. Maybe it'll be the key death lineup against the terrible Houston 6'4" and under group. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to make a prediction about this coming series?
I do want to make a prediction about this.
Okay.
My prediction is Lakers in six.
Ah, I'm going to say Rockets in six.
Okay, Chris says Rockets in six. I've got a ledger, and I'm keeping track on an absolute scale of how many games we were off.
Okay.
Where sweeping is at the far end of the scale, and the other team sweeping is at the other end of the scale. How gotcha. Do you think you did in absolute games wrong in the first
round?
Yeah.
There are eight series.
Yeah, eight series, and you did predict two of them exactly.
I would guess that I was on average about two games off. So I'm going to say that I am off by 13 games.
You're off by exactly 13 games.
Hey, at least I got that right.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Yes, you were off by exactly 13 games.
How many were you off?
I was off by 10.
Ooh.
So, and I could have been off by 9 if the Thunder won tonight.
I think I feel like I miscalled more series than you, though, for general winners.
You did. The only series I miscalled was the Thunder series.
Uh-huh.
And the series that you miscalled were the Pacers and the Mavericks. So other than that, we got them all.
Oh, right. So we both went with Nuggets.
We both went with Nuggets. You went Nuggets in 5, but I went Nuggets in 7. That was the only one I predicted exactly.
That's a great call.
Yeah.
Speaking of teams with players that I hate.
Hey, do you, and I've wanted to check in with you on this.
Yes.
Do you still hate him after this series?
Jamal Murray?
Yeah.
Sure. It's never based on actual, like, performance.
That's fair. I mean,
because I actually think, in a way, if you just line up who you like or don't like based on performance, then it's kind of like it's sort of like a getting on the bandwagon feel. Like, I never liked Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I always rooted against Michael Jordan. And to me, yes. I think I must have said this before, but I feel like the people that rooted against Michael Jordan, those are people like that are necessary for sports as well.
Those people are the true heroes of the world. Those are the people who are the best. Well, I mean, I think part of the thing was like you hated him because you knew you thought he was never going to be a point guard. And you thought that he was
I thought he was kind of a fraud in clutch situations.
Yeah, and like, I mean, if those two things were reasons why you hated him, I do think that there are like reasons to say like, oh, maybe you don't hate this guy anymore. Just saying, I think he disproved a lot of the things that you think about him in this particular series.
Yeah, I would say in this series, and if he does continuously prove those things wrong with me, it still doesn't mean I will like him. It means I will
maybe respect him.
No, but it means I will, you know, like I think he's a bit of it's one series. Let's see how he does in the next one and the next one and the next one. I think he's a little bit. We'll see. Like, a lot of players have one good series. Like, a lot of players have one epic series, which I would say he did.
Lou Dort with his 30-point series that he had against the Houston Rockets today. Lou Dort's a fraud. I think the official stance of the Rule of Threes podcast is that Lou Dort is a fraud.
I guess our official stance is that it's a very small sample size. Even 7 games is a small sample size.
Yeah.
Also, technically, Game 7 was whose home game?
For the Nuggets, it was a Nuggets home game.
Okay. This is what I think. Before the playoffs started, I said that a team might come back from like 3-1 or something because of the absence of any real home court issues.
Yeah.
And they did come back from 3-1. So I saw a thing today that was like Nuggets make history by coming back from. But to me, there's a little bit of an asterisk about that because there isn't a home road factor in this.
And they got fraud number 2 back, and they credited the reason they won the series to your second favorite fraud on the Denver Nuggets, Gary Harris.
Yes. Now, Gary Harris, I have no personal ill will towards.
Okay.
I just think that there were times people were saying what a great defensive player he was, and I thought that was not true.
You know, one of those times was right now, because they just said he's a great defensive player in the series.
Right, right. It was also about Gary Harris shutting down Lonzo
back in the day. Yes.
Yeah. Which was demonstrably untrue. All you have to do is clip all the plays.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
You know, a lot of these questions are very easily answered by just looking at clips of footage.
Yeah, spending months on YouTube just scouring the footage and putting it together. And then making a post on RNBA saying, just, I found this stuff, and you put it all together yourself.
Well, the thing is, it has to do with, are you willing to find a clip of Steph Curry shooting a three-pointer?
Yeah.
And a clip of Landry Shamet shooting a three-pointer?
Yes.
From the same angle?
Yeah.
From the same spot on the floor? And are you willing to 50% opacity overlay one over the other?
Of course.
To check the arcs of their 3-point shots.
Yeah, and I mean, it practically looked like a mountain, the difference between those arcs, if you filled it in.
Does it seem like you could only do this if you were a person that like had lots of free time?
You know, free time, also skill at creating self-tapes in Adobe Premiere.
Yes. Or I wanted to say the word lassitude.
Lassitude.
Which I think means like extreme laziness or something.
No. I'm thinking about it in like lassitude, like you can last very long doing something that doesn't matter.
Uh-huh. A state of physical or mental weariness, lack of energy.
Got it. This is not a lack of energy. This is a lot of energy used in a way that doesn't benefit anyone.
Oh, benefit me. I think I won a Reddit thread.
Oh, nice. Well, we'll get you that benefit. It's coming in the mail from Reddit.
So, yes, Jamal Murray did crush it in the series. We were both right about our predictions.
This was the only series that I got 100% right on the nose.
Uh-huh.
I called Nuggets in 7. It did not even play out anyway near how I thought it would play out.
Uh-huh.
Right, because my initial prediction was that neither of these teams impressed me, and I thought it was going to go 7 games because neither of these teams impressed me. But right. I think in playing these games, both of these teams impressed me in different ways.
Can I theorize something?
Yeah.
That the feeling you're talking about is almost happened more in the Rockets-Thunder series.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
The Rockets Thunder series was like, what's like, I forgot what point I looked at the score tonight before I could start watching the game. And I was like, why like at the end of the game, you're like, why is this ending 104 to 102 or something?
Yeah.
In the modern NBA.
You know, I mean, I guess if we really want to get into it, there was a game 7 in the Nuggets series that ended 80-78.
Yeah.
But that was the one low-scoring game in the series because everybody was just fucking tired. So I was very impressed with the way that Jordan Clarkson played in the series. You know, he missed a ton of shots, and he was grabbing the ball a ton, and he was really bad. I was impressed with Donovan Mitchell. Just like what a series from him. The thing that you sometimes aren't prepared for in the first round is how many good players and good teams sit out the second round of the playoffs.
Mm.
Right. And I think that the 4 teams in the West that are sitting out are all teams that were better than the bottom 4 teams in the East.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Right. So, you know, I don't know. I think that there could have been some friskiness if we had a 1 versus 16 kind of layout in the bubble. But my big thought on the way that Denver came back in the series was people thought they were mentally done after going down 3-1, and Jamal fucking Murray would not let them die, which was so impressive. I thought he played so well. Like almost every game in the series. Like, yeah, he didn't have a super great game 7.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was dueling with Donovan Mitchell, and he was shooting so well. I mean, both of those dudes shot insane percentages.
Yeah.
And, like, what's more clutch than doing that in the playoffs? Like, it really just – that was an absolutely nuts series between those two guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jokic versus Gobert. Everybody was like, Gobert's way better after the first 4 games. And then after the last 3 games, it was like, oh, Jokic actually made some shit happen. And, you know, I loved watching those games in that series because it just felt like shot after shot after shot in basically every game except for game 3. Was a close one. Something that felt like every game mattered.
Game 7 was intense. It did not feel as much as like shot after shot after shot.
Yeah.
Because comparatively, Mitchell and Murray both had kind of bad game 7s compared to the rest of their series. By the way, what was my prediction for this one?
Yours Nuggets was in 5. Nuggets in 5.
5, okay. I think it did show that as flashy as Mitchell and Murray are, that like Jokic is just a consistent, like, you know, we've been talking about variance, but like his game is much lower variance than like Jamal Murray's is.
Because
I would say Jamal Murray's games 2, 3, and 7 were not great. They were, you know, they were, I just mean from a production point of view. By the way, I would give props to Jamal Murray for a very cool 360 layup.
That was
I forget which game that was in, but that was very that's the thing where you watch and you're like, could my body do that? even with no one around? I don't think so.
No go for me there, buddy.
How do you feel about the Nuggets against the Clippers?
I do not like the Nuggets against the Clippers. I don't think the Nuggets are going to beat the Clippers. I think the Clippers are going to win the series. I don't think it's going to be I don't know. I feel like to me that, you know, if we're going predictions, I'm going to go Clippers in 6 on this one. This feels like a classic Clippers drop a couple of games in the middle of the series and then the Nuggets blow it.
I'm going to go Clippers in 5.
Oh.
Just so I've never picked than you, but also I realized that really well, actually, the main two stars that I like in this series are, I don't mind Kawhi, he's fine, and I like Jokic.
Yeah,
but I think that there's going to be less like just room to maneuver for Murray against like. Even if Kawhi's not the first man defending him, and if Paul George is not the first man defending him, like they're in the area.
Yeah.
Like, I think dribbling the ball anywhere near Kawhi must be kind of a terrifying experience.
Oh, definitely.
And we'll see how it goes in this series, but Jamal Murray isn't the tightest of handles. he can throw out some turnovers, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, yes, that is fair.
I'll go with that.
Do you want to talk about the East series and the
let's talk
so
about
far?
The East. I was just thinking about how it is another series where like there's multiple players on both sides I don't like. but the fun thing about the modern NBA is even my favorite team kind of has players I don't like.
So you just don't like a lot of people. You're just a curmudgeon when it comes to basketball.
The only teams that the Bucks. Let's talk about the East, but the Bucks. Except for the fact that they have who's the one that I really hate on the Bucks? We always make fun of him.
Oh, Eric Bledsoe.
Eric Bledsoe. The Leslie Odom Jr. of the NBA.
You know, that is not a bad call.
I don't like him, but I like the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's fair.
The Milwaukee Bucks are not in the best shape right now.
No. In fact, the only prediction that is dead in the second round so far is my Bucks and 5 prediction.
Oh,
you're gonna lose a lot of points on that one in the rundown. But your Bucks and 6 makes it also look not good. We'll probably lose the same amount of games on that one.
They have to do a delayed sweep for my
They would, and I'll tell you what, it doesn't look like they can do a delayed sweep. I was not prepared for how well the Miami Heat were going to defend against Giannis Antetokounmpo in the series. And so far through 2 games, they have gone off on defense. And, you know, you watch the game tonight and you see that they're really walling up against this team in a way that feels like they are all on the same page. Mm-hmm. They're working together. Bam Adebayo in the middle is really doing a good job of keeping Giannis down. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see if the Bucks can come out and get a win in Game 3. If they don't get a Game 3 win, I mean, that'd be just one of the most disappointing runs since Dirk Nowitzki's Round 1 loss to the Warriors in his MVP season.
Or the who did Dikembe Mutombo beat? He was on the ground shaking that ball.
It was the Nuggets versus the...
That might have also been Golden State.
I don't remember. No, I can't remember if it was Nuggets or if it was the Hawks, Knicks. There was like a Knicks-Hawks one in there at some point.
I'm pretty sure that was when Dikembe was still a Nugget.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever that highlight is of him just holding the ball on the ground.
The Nuggets beat Seattle.
Seattle. Is that like a Sean Kemp? Seattle?
Oh, you bet it's a Sean Kemp Seattle.
Oh, wow. So what season is this for Giannis?
This is Giannis's seventh season. Sixth or seventh.
So I think I'm almost positive I've mentioned this before about Giannis before, that like I feel like he is the kind of player that in the regular season is a little bit like, this dude is too much of a pain in the ass to play against. I haven't really game planned against him. I played a game last night. Am I really going to run up and down the court with this guy as much as he wants to? You know what? Just have that dunk.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
And then in the playoffs, it's like, oh, my nerd coach has sat down and come up with a game plan to execute against a specific person who can create his own shot, but is not like a James Harden or a Kevin Durant in terms of creating his own shot.
Yeah.
And it's possible that with a focused game plan that we can just make him less efficient than he is in the regular season. I feel like in the regular season, it's almost like when you're in a pickup game and one guy can like dunk it and you're just like, okay, like none of us is going to try to like block that dunk. Like you're just going to score whenever you want to.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would almost say. Like maybe this is another season where it's like he loses and he has to go into the summer and put in some different tools into his toolkit.
Yeah, I mean, I trust he'll be able to.
Yeah, know, and I trust he will be able to too.
Being a good 3-point shooter, because I don't know if that's a tool that's going to live in his toolbox. But
now the thing that I was surprised by a recent Damian Lillard's interview. I think it was on the JJ Redick podcast.
Okay,
where he was talking about how. Do you remember there was a year where I believe New Orleans, like. Knocked them out early. Maybe they swept them.
Yeah.
And they kept double teaming Damian Lillard and he like didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
It was a defensive game plan that was like, we're going to double him as soon as he crosses half court. And he just forced a bunch of turnovers and they lost that series really badly. And in this interview with JJ Redick, he was talking about, yeah, we went in there and you guys did this to us. I guess Redick was on I don't know if he's on the team. Right? And saying, like, then I went home that summer and kind of figured out how to deal with it. And I remember being surprised because I was like, it's very surprising to me that a starting point guard in the NBA is not clear about what to do against double teams. But it was what he said in the interview.
Yeah.
And it's very possible that Damian Lillard is so fast and talented that he's never really faced real game plans like that. Or, like, they've never bothered. It doesn't bother him when a college kid or high school kid double teams him. But when it's – you know, Drew Holiday and somebody else. So I am curious, I guess, to see, can they very quickly adjust their game plan for Giannis that he can be closer, you know, let's say, what percentage of his, of Giannis do you think he's been so far?
Oh, in this series?
Yeah.
Or,
in the series, games.
I think he's probably been about 60% Giannis.
So if they could change something in their game plan and get him to 80%, you know, then maybe they will win. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's unrealistic to think that they're going to, that as they say in Valorant games, that he's going to pop off. Now, I also just did read recently a good counterpoint to that, which was Jimmy Butler typically doesn't play seven games in a row that are good.
No, he really will have a bad one. And today might have been his bad game.
Yeah.
And they still won.
Which is a good sign for them.
What do you think about the refereeing in today's and the most recent games? I feel like it's been a little heavy-handed.
Yes, I agree. Why do we think that is? Because that seems different than most playoffs that
we've
been in.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but it feels like a lot. Like in the Bucks Heat game today, there were like 8 3-pointers that got fouls called on them. Like a ton of free throws were shot in that game. The Heat shot 32 and the Bucks shot 39. Like That's a shit ton of free throws.
Yes. Not sure that that's what we want as a product from the NBA.
No, I think that's probably about 10 too many per team.
Yeah,
at the least, maybe that 15 right. too many. So yeah, I don't know. Like, was it that they were fouling the shit out of each other, or was it that the game was getting called a little strangely? It seemed to me like it was that the game was getting called a little strangely. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I'm trying to think if anything about the bubble might be affecting this, but I don't really. Maybe the refs' eyes are less tired.
That from could less be travel. It. Maybe they're. I don't know. Maybe they just like hearing their voice on TV because they get to talk to the TV now.
It could be that there's far less sound on the court, and they're actually hearing hands hit arms more. Yeah, often.
That could be it too. Maybe we need to have these referees put some earplugs in. So they can get the real effect, and then they won't give out any technicals for people just talking trash.
Yeah, actually, something that would support that is if there were more technicals called per game because they're hearing more than they normally hear.
Yeah, I think there are, but I'm not entirely sure.
On a side note, talking about foul calls, James Harden's free throw rate for the regular season was 528.
528 is the free throw rate.
For every field goal attempt, he's getting half of a foul call.
0.528. Got it.
Yes, okay. 0.528. And because I've said recently a lot that in the playoffs, his free throw rate goes way down.
Yes. And what is it? What was it in the 7-game series that we just completed?
This only game is 1-6, but it's 0.402.
Got it. Okay. So. And then let me see what he got in this game, because he took 14 shots, I believe, was what he took.
Yeah, I don't know how this calculation works with attempts that turn into free throw calls. Oh, those field goal attempts don't exist technically, correct. Right? Yeah,
they do not.
So I assume that's how this is calculated. Anyway, your prediction is pretty much dead. For the Bucks,
It is completely dead. They can't.
Do you think they can? Do you think they can make it a series? Do you think they can come back and win?
No, I'm counting them out now. I'm going back to my one time random prediction that I made on the podcast, or maybe in a text message to somebody. I don't know. I said one point somewhere that the Heat were going to win the East.
Ooh. Okay.
And so now I'm saying that they're going to win this series because I was wrong about my prediction. I just want I want the Bucks to win. I want them to do well.
I would say that I hope that the thought of like they make an adjustment and he gets back to what he's being is what happens, as opposed to the Giannis goes back over the summer to work on his game more, because I feel like we've had that the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And also now there's dumb rumors about what team he's going to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's definitely going to go to the Springfield Isotopes.
Yeah. also, shout out to Donovan Mitchell for getting a max deal.
Hey, congrats. He earned it.
Okay, our last matchup in the East is almost over.
I mean, it's in the same place as the Bucks are.
Yeah.
This one I was a little better on for my prediction. I picked Celtics in six, still feels reasonable.
Did I pick the Raptors?
In six, yeah.
Well, see, both my predictions are still alive.
Still alive. You know, we just got to get some reverse sweeps going on.
I believe these are called gentleman sweeps.
No, gentleman sweep is what the Lakers did. You lose the first game, then you win the next four.
Okay. So if you lose two and then win four.
But that's not a gentleman sweep. That's just a series.
That's just basketball.
Love basketball.
Well, we got some great basketball. We got kind of a political statement. Probably by the next time, I mean, we'll be halfway to the finals by the time, like, the way these series are progressing.
Yeah. I mean, everything's going fast. I mean, we'll probably be checking in the middle of this next round of games. But
yeah, I do think this Clippers Nuggets is going to be fascinating to see.
Game one and tomorrow. You know,
it will be. You know, for as headstrong as this young Jamal Murray is, this is a fine test for him to go up against these Clippers.
Yeah.
And we'll see if the swagger continues. I think Jokic will continue to be fine. Like, Jokic is just, he's just tall enough that, like, he just shoot over whoever he wants.
And yeah, I think he'll feast on the Lakers or the Clippers bigs. But we'll see if he makes it happen. But
yeah.
I like, I like them to take a couple of games, but not to make it anything crazy.
And then tomorrow, also, we have Raptors and Celtics game three, which, which like, we're about to find out in the East whether or not we're having any series at all. Because if the Celtics and the Heat wins both game threes, it will almost feel like the first round, where it's just like, what? Is there competition in this conference or what?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Heat-Celtics series, if it happens, is going to be very fun. But one thing I said is that it was nice that the West seems to be dragging out their series because they're infinitely more interesting than the ones in the East.
Did the Celtics sweep their round one as
well? Yes, they did. Yeah.
So let's imagine that they swept rounds one and two.
Yeah.
And let's just say they swept round three. Like, what does that do to the scheduling where they're like potentially off for like 11 days or something?
Well, I'd imagine that they'll bake in some rest to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Yeah. If both of those series end quick, I don't imagine they'll start it up right away.
Right.
If they that'd be silly.
That would be silly.
But, you know, like if all of the Western Conference games go seven games, like I'd imagine that they'll wait until they're like in game seven to start the Eastern Conference Finals. So,
You know, as I do think the playoffs have been very interesting so far.
Yeah.
And I think we could both agree that the series didn't go the way we thought they would go.
No.
A lot of them, right?
Well, not in result. Like, in result, I think, like, the team that won, we were mostly okay with.
In tone, though, or like...
In tone, right. I think the series that I felt most good about, like, this played out how I thought it was going to, was the Raptors series, the Celtics series, and the Lakers series, really.
Yes, exactly.
Like, all of those series seemed to turn out the way I thought they would. But, like, the Bucks series, I mean, I didn't expect them to lose a game at all to the Magic.
Right.
The Heat and Pacers, we both expected that to be knockdown dragout because we didn't believe in either of those teams, and the Heat just fucking ran them off the floor.
I will say that the Celtics-Sixers series was over much quicker than I thought it would be.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I predicted five, you predicted six, but it played out how I thought it would. The Sixers being depleted and not being able to compete in the long term against a pretty loaded Boston team, even though Boston lost Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
You know?
So for all that having been said, that the playoffs have been pretty interesting, I think, it is kind of funny that in the West, the top four seeds are in.
Yeah.
And in the East, the top three seeds and the Heat, and who were a five seed. So,
yeah, and a five seed that had the same exact record as the four seed.
Yeah, in a playoff bracket where it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
It literally doesn't matter if you're four or five.
Correct.
Actually, in a way, it doesn't even matter if you're one or eight in terms of home court.
Yeah.
But still, it is kind of funny that like, you know, I guess the thing is with seven-game series, generally the better team is going to win. Like, it's not like, you know, the years when the NCAA turns out to be like all four number one seeds made it to the Final Four, those are kind of like rare.
Yes.
But this is not as...
No, random. I mean, yeah, I think we expected most of the things that happened here. Yeah. So,
Casey, do you have any shows this week?
I have no shows this week. Nothing going on.
I don't have a show this week, but I actually will recommend to you, Casey,
yeah,
and to our listeners in general. At the Geffen Theater, there was a magic show called The Present.
Oh.
By Helder Guimarães, who's I believe he's from Portugal.
Yeah.
And I'm just checking to see that this still exists. So it was it took place in Zoom, and you bought a ticket, and then you were sent a package, and you participated in this show through Zoom, but you needed these props that were sent along with it.
Yeah.
They are doing a final performance of it on August 25th. If you Google Geffen Playhouse, The Present Grand Finale, I believe they're selling tickets to this now where you can see it, but some people are only going to be stream, like you just watch it streaming, but you don't participate.
Yeah. Got it. And you don't get a box.
And there's another level.
To a box.
There's another level where you get an envelope to be able to participate in, like, I think one or two of them.
Got it.
But it's much cheaper. And it's, I believe not as the one I saw, they only sold 25 tickets per show. I believe they're selling more for this, and I think you would enjoy it and other people as well.
All right. Well, I'll have to watch it. I mean, the show that we binged a lot of yesterday was a new addition to HBO Max recently.
Oh.
Joe Pera Talks to You.
Uh-huh. Yes, I'm familiar.
If you haven't watched it, highly recommend watching it. It is so funny. It's
also a potentially soothing show to watch during the lockdown.
Yeah.
In terms of just the sound of his voice.
The sound of, but here's the thing, though. It's not what you expect. The show's not what you expect from him either. It's a little different.
Oh, cool.
It is both what you would expect, but also what you wouldn't expect, because it's the show was created by him and Connor O'Malley.
Uh huh.
So you can imagine their two energies are a lot
different. Connor O'Malley is Tim Robinson's buddy.
He is one of Tim Robinson's buddies. He's married to.
I want to say he's the guy who follows Tim Robinson around for the bumper sticker.
Yes. Yeah. And he's also the manager of the music studio. But he's married to Adi Bryant.
Cool.
And so they do a lot of fun stuff. And he's got some really funny stuff online. And you should, watch. I really like Connor O'Malley. So
Connor O'Malley is right in your Q zone.
Right, don't tell me it's right in my Q zone. Okay,
it is.
I mean, you got Moon River Rock, Moon River Roll.
Sing that Palm Tree Girls or whatever.
Palm Tree Guys of Palm Tree Girls. Yeah. Okay. Here we are. We're now just a I Think You Should Leave podcast.
Everything that people hate about people that quote The Simpsons all the time.
Yeah.
I have no compunction doing that for I Think You Should Leave.
Me either.
I feel totally fine.
Absolutely. 100%. I'll quote that anytime you want. Yeah. Guaranteed. Because I'm a part of the Turbo team.
Well, actually, randomly, Erica started saying, like, if I'll say something like, it's nice, he will say, like, oh, it's like... I think my sister has jumped into the Zoom.
I think so. Hello.
Hello. Let me remove real quick. Does that work? Doesn't even work. I bet the app is open on her phone.
That's funny.
Okay. Erica started, I'll say like, it's nice. And he'll be like, yeah, like something hats. I forget what those hats are. Those Italian hats.
Bowler hats. Bucket hats. Yeah.
But what are the like stanzas? Stanza. He's like, I'll just randomly be like, oh, that was nice. He'd be like, yeah, like they're like stanzas. They're nice. So, okay, basketball's great.
Yeah,
we'll be back to talk about the next series.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.